Tomorrow afternoon, when I journey home to have dinner with my mom, I know what I am going to hear. I don't like that gospel passage. It's not fair. There's lazy old Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus doing nothing, and there's Martha working her fingers to the bone, and Jesus praises Mary. I don't get it. Doesn't our Lord realize that if it weren't for good Martha, nobody would be eating dinner? When I see Jesus, I'm going to ask him about this. Guaranteed. But it's not simply a matter of prayer, which is Mary, or work, which is Martha. It's not an either or, it's a both and. This is the perspective we have to use to approach this gospel. Like Saint Benedict said, as the motto for his Benedictine community, ora et labora, to pray and to work. Both have an important part in our life. So looking at the example of Mary, the challenge is, do you and I take time to sit at the feet of our Lord and pray? To take that time for personal prayer. I know you all have heard me say this many times, but I do it for good reason. Every time I hear confessions, or maybe there's a counseling session of some sort, I ask people, do you take time to pray? I'm surprised how many times someone will say, well, not really, or no, or it's really just grace at meals. So the real challenge for us, and this is good that we have this during summertime when things are a little bit slower paced, that we look at our lives and ask ourselves, do I take 15 good minutes to pray? Now, St. Francis de Sales said we ought to take an hour. Now, we might think an hour, that's a long time. But I guarantee you, if you take 15 good minutes, eventually you'll want to have even more time. The hardest part is finding the time. So the time has to be scheduled. For myself, I have found that the best time for good, quiet prayer is first thing in the morning. Otherwise, as the day moves on, then things start cranking and the mind gets very clouded. If I wait till the end of the day, I'm pretty tired and the best I can do is horizontal meditation. So, the key is that we need to find a good time to pray. In that, we can say our good formal prayers like the Our Father. It's the perfect prayer our Lord gave us. We can read a passage of Scripture like this gospel and just meditate on it. Think about it. We can open our hearts to our Lord. Thank God for the gifts that we have, the blessings, pray for our loved ones by name, ask for any help we need. We do have to take time, though, also just to listen. Guaranteed, if we really start praying regularly, we'll not only look forward to it, we'll see the fruits of it. If it might seem like, well, how do I really do this? I would encourage you, sign up for this little book called The Magnificat. We have them down in the gift shop. You could order them. It's a great, helpful way for anyone to pray with different meditations throughout the day, even the readings for daily Mass. A good tool. But with that prayer time, you and I also need to realize that we punctuate the day with prayer. So the grace at meals, for instance. Or it could be that bedtime prayer to do a little examination of conscience, offer an act of contrition. We can give little aspirations, like we see the beautiful day and we say, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. Or maybe we're helped in some way and we say, thank you, Lord, for giving me this help. Prayer allows us to live in the presence of Christ. That's the key. To know him, yes, as Lord and Savior, but also as a friend. To know his presence in our life. Granted, at times there may be distraction. We all face distraction. One of the saints said, feet were made to walk and minds were made to roam. So you and I, at times, have to fight the distraction. Nevertheless, refocus, get back to prayer. We may even go through those dry periods where we don't feel the presence of God. But God is there, and besides, beyond the feelings, we have to use the intellect That's why we're praying. We might not always have that fervent love for a friend, but we still love the friend. And so same with prayer. Don't let the devil discourage you with the dryness. Rather, let the Lord help you. And with that struggle, the Lord is going to make the relationship even stronger. I would encourage you, too, to make good use of your time. So, like if you're driving for a good distance, why not say the rosary? And say that as a family. Like if you're going on your vacation trip or maybe going down to Washington, whatever, say the rosary as a family. Wonderful way to spend time. If you're commuting to work, put in one of those audio books. There are many good spiritual books, even the rosary, even the Bible, that we could put into our car. And granted, it's not full attention, but nevertheless, it's time used wisely. Prayer. That prayer, though, needs to then overflow into the daily activities. You and I know we have our responsibilities. Saint Jose Maria Escrivá, the founder of Opus Dei, said, we should always sanctify our work, meaning that in our work, we should remember that we're doing the work for Christ, we are serving Christ, but we're also called to be like Christ to others. So no matter what our task is, whether it's the most complicated task of the day or it's the most ordinary, make that an offering. Even in those most ordinary times, we can take time to think about our Lord. For instance, St. Teresa of Avila said that we can find God in the dishes. So as we're doing dishes, we could easily find time to think about life and think about life with Jesus. So look at that opportunity of working with our Lord. Now, granted, as we do work, we know we face at times difficult situations or difficult people. And that's when even then we pause and inside we pray, Lord, give me patience. Or Lord, help me. We need to do that. We could also have the unpleasant tasks. We all have those. But make that as an offering. St. Paul reminds us in our second passage to offer our sufferings, our sacrifices to our Lord, unite them to His, and those will bring about great graces. So if there's some task that you really hate, make that as an offering. Lord, I offer this for this special intention, the poor souls in purgatory, the conversion of sinners, the conversion of those who don't believe in Jesus. How important that is in our world. For instance, I hate emptying the dishwasher. I really don't like it. I don't mind doing dishes, but emptying the dishwasher I do not like. But I will do it if that's the opportunity. And I always say, Lord, it's for the poor souls in purgatory. Honestly, that's how I look at it. So it helps. It helps bring a goodness to those most unpleasant tasks. So we have a Martha and Mary dimension in our life that has to be together. But only that way can we then keep away from becoming overly anxious. Jesus says to Martha, Martha, you're really anxious about many things. Well, for sure. How would you like to have Jesus and 12 apostles just show up on your door for dinner? Think of it. All of a sudden, what am I going to fix? Do I have enough food? Will we have enough to eat? You can't call Domino's in Jerusalem to deliver. She now has, including herself, Jesus, 12 apostles, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. All of a sudden, I can see getting upset. But that anxiety then overflows. Jesus, doesn't it bother you that Mary's not helping me, and so on? Well, the prayer has to override, and that presence of Christ has to override our drifting off into this anxiety. And we could be very anxious in our world today. One way, I would say, is because we're so connected. I know people who will spend time, like on Facebook, whatever, and there's nothing wrong with that. But then comes the anxiety. I need to have what they have. I need to be doing what they're doing. My kids need to have what they have. My kids need to be doing what they're doing. There's all this anxiety. Well, stay connected with our Lord. Don't worry about being connected with all those others. Be connected with our Lord, and in prayer, set the priorities, be grateful, live life with your family. Or the anxiety may come because we live in this very insecure world. Think of what happened in Nice, France, or Dallas, or Orlando, and I could go on and on. We could become very anxious and fearful. That's what the devil would want. But instead, all we have is this day. Mother Teresa said, "The past is past. The future hasn't come yet. All we have is today to live in the love of Jesus." If we do take that time for prayer, and that prayer then is intermingled with our day-to-day activities, we will live in that presence. I'm not saying that anxiety might not come, but rather that we'll know how to deal with it, to cast it aside and say again, "Jesus, be with me. Jesus, help me." Guaranteed, if we connect with Christ in prayer and in work, we'll find peace of heart. May God bless you.